WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have dense fog and 56 degrees in Atlantic. The dense fog advisory remains in effect until 10 a.m. for Audubon, Guthrie, Dallas, Polk, Cass, Adair, Madison, Adams, Mills, Montgomery, Fremont, Page, Union, and Taylor counties. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. The Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education is slated to meet this evening at the high school. Discussion items on their agenda include classroom space at the Washington Elementary School for 2012 and 2013, the hospital school, additional funding options for the Atlantic Middle School project, and the sharing of business manager Mary Beth Fast with the Walnut Community School District. The board will also receive a construction update on the Atlantic Middle School from Design Alliance architects Jerry Purdy. That meeting begins at 7:30. More news in just a moment.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Council Bluffs police are investigating the theft of two chalices valued at $5,000 from a church. The Reverend Dan Kirby of the Corpus Christi Parish reported the silver and gold chalices were stolen from the Holy Family Church. Kirby told police the chalices, which were in a cupboard, were taken between 11 a.m. on October the 2nd and 11 a.m. last Wednesday. No arrests have been reported. The Iowa Department of Transportation said Monday that crews are completing the installation of signs for the Lincoln Highway Heritage Byway and the Lus Hills National Scenic Byway in Council Bluffs and the Pottawatomie County area. Thanks to grant funds made available through the Federal Highway Administration, the DOT is installing a new sign system for all the scenic byways in Iowa. Each of the 11 scenic and heritage byways across the state has a unique logo and a similar framework, easily identifiable as an Iowa byway. The images are unreflective signs with directional information added at decision points for the traveler. The Lus Hills National Scenic Byway signs are now being installed in our area. The Lus Hills were named one of Iowa's scenic byways in 1998 and received National Scenic Byway recognition in 2000 from the U.S. Department of Transportation. The Lus Hills National Scenic Byway stretches along the western edge of Iowa through Fremont, Mills, Pottawatomie, Harrison, Monona, Woodbury, and Plymouth counties. The Lus Hills National Scenic Byway also goes down Broadway and Council Bluffs from Highway 6 to 7th Street. The public is invited to an unveiling of the Lus Hills National Scenic Byway signs on October the 13th at 4 p.m. in the offices of the Council Bluffs Area Chamber of Commerce in the renovated Hughes Iron Historic Building at 149 West Broadway. And the new Lincoln Highway Heritage Byway signs have been in place for a short time. They feature a distinctive L on a red, white, and blue background. Lincoln Highway Association was created in 1913 in Detroit, Michigan. The first transcontinental highway, Old Lincoln Highway, was officially 3,389 miles long from New York City to San Francisco. In Pottawatomie County, the road goes down County Road L-20, North Broadway in Council Bluffs, continuing on West Broadway toward Dodge Street in Omaha and over the Missouri River. The Iowa Department of Transportation's Council Bluffs Construction Office reports bridge construction work will require closing of U.S. Highway 6 in both directions between Pottawatomie County Roads L-52 and L-55, 4 miles east of Council Bluffs, beginning on Monday, October 17th, weather permitting. Motorists will be asked to follow the detour signs during the closure. The bridge and U.S. 6 will be open by October 31st. Traffic is moving again on Interstate 29 in southwest Iowa after 4 months of long detours because of flooding on the Missouri River. The Iowa Department of Transportation opened I-29 from near Pacific Junction to the Missouri border on Saturday. It ended a detour to Kansas City, Missouri that stretched hundreds of miles through central Iowa via Interstate 35. There are still a few traffic snarls around Hamburg to deal with, but drivers say it's better than before. Georgia Wolt of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, travels south to see her sons and says her trip has been cut by about 1.5 hours. Road crews are focusing on repairing I-680 north of Council Bluffs, and they hope to reopen a three-mile stretch of that by late December. The Missouri River in Iowa is open for boaters again. Boats have been off limits all summer because of flooding. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources said Monday that the Missouri River, as well as the Big Sioux River in northwest Iowa, are now open. The agency says with fall fishing picking up in the second duck season a few weeks ago, the rivers could get busy. Officials are urging boaters to be careful because the river level is still high, and there are many obstacles under the surface, including logs and sandbars. Most of the public access areas on the Missouri River remain closed, but the DNR is working to clean and inspect the boat ramps and parking lots, which will reopen as conditions allow. The Iowa Department of Transportation's Council Bluffs Construction Office says road construction work will cause traffic to be restricted to one lane in both directions of Interstate 29 between Harrison County Road F-50, or Exit 82, and Iowa Highway 127, Exit 89, near Modale, beginning on Monday and ending on the 24th, weather permitting. And road construction work currently underway in both directions of I-29 between the Missouri state line and Iowa Highway 2, Exit 10, north of Hamburg, will require motorists to share the roadway with opposing traffic beginning on Monday, November 14th, weather permitting. And that'll be a 16-foot width lane restriction in place in the open areas of the lanes. Well, community members from around western Iowa attended the Iowa Blue Zone Project held yesterday at the Thurkelson Center in Harlan. The Blue Zone's road show was presented by the Blue Zone's state project team and was designed to provide more information about the project and what communities can expect if they're selected to be one of 10 communities around the state to participate in the effort. The presentation consisted of four guest speakers, including the author of the book entitled Blue Zones, Dan Buettner. Dustin Smith, another presenter during the roadshow, says Buettner discovered the Blue Zones.
Blue Zones are geographically defined areas of the world where people live measurably longer than anywhere else. They were discovered by Dan Buettner and National Geographic as part of a multi-year study to look for places where people had great longevity.
Smith said they want to start a movement.
We're providing an information center on the Blue Zones Project, and the Blue Zones Project is an effort as part of the Healthiest State Initiative to make Iowa the healthiest state. And specifically what we're doing with the project is we're trying to create a movement across the state with communities, with employers, to get them to change their environment, working with them to change their environment and policy to make the healthy choice the easy choice. So we're taking the learnings from the Blue Zones as well as learnings from the Gallup Healthways Wellbeing Index, and we're applying them in a way that should drive improved well-being across the state.
The main approach to the project is to find the communities that are ready to become a Blue Zone community.
Our approach to creating this movement is to define or identify 10 demonstration sites, 10 cities that we would work with to help transform them into Blue Zones communities. So we're starting a process of multiple road shows to start to identify the communities that are interested and motivated and ready to become one of these Blue Zones communities. So you would learn about the project, you would learn what it would take to become a Blue Zones community, and you'd learn the process of application and selection.
Smith said during the presentation Monday that citizens were encouraged to help drive their communities toward becoming a Blue Zone community by logging on to www.bluezonesproject.com. That process begins with submitting a statement of interest. The deadline to register is Thursday, October 27th. Blue Zones Project team will announce the finalists on May the 1st. The roadshow at the Thurkelson Center was for about an hour and 20 minutes with over 150 people attending. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a jury will hear opening statements in federal court in Detroit today in the trial of a man accused in a failed Christmas Day plot to bring down a U.S. jetliner as it approached the Detroit airport. Umar Farouk Abdullah Montab is acting as his own lawyer, but his attorney will be addressing the court today. Republican presidential candidates are getting ready for their next debate tonight at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Meanwhile, a Quinnipiac University poll in Virginia has Herman Cain and Mitt Romney tied at the top. Texas Governor Rick Perry's showing has plummeted over the past month from 25% to 11% of the vote coming among those surveyed. President Obama's jobs bill appears likely to fail a test vote in the Senate today. Republicans oppose its spending components and its tax surcharge on millionaires. Obama will be in Pittsburgh today, where his jobs council releases its recommendations to put more people back to work. News time is 8:10.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
In our funeral announcements, 89-year-old Carmen Ann Radigan of Council Bluffs died Saturday at the Bethany Nursing Home in Council Bluffs. A massive Christian burial service for Carmen Radigan will be today at 10 o'clock at St. Mary's of the Assumption Catholic Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Rose Ann Nully, age 78, of Manning, died Friday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Massive Christian burial service for Rose Nully will be today at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Robert F. Spencer, age 86, of Audubon, died October 4th at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Robert Spencer will be today at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. 68-year-old Tom Arne of Atlantic died Sunday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Services for Tom Arne will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. 64-year-old Kathleen K. Cooley-Schwaderer of Des Moines and formerly of Guthrie Center died Friday. Funeral services for Kathleen Cooley will be held tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. 99-year-old Bernard Pardee of Hamelin died Sunday at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Bernard Pardee will be held Thursday at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. 92-year-old Maxine Hayes of Exira died Saturday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Maxine Hayes will be Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. 67-year-old Barb Colvin of Oakland died Sunday at her home. Cremation has taken place, and services for Barb Colvin will be held at a later date. The Reagan Beath Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. And 86-year-old Virginia Rasmussen of Elkhorn died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Nursing Home. Funeral services for Virginia Rasmussen are currently pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.